am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Those immortal words from Rabbi Paul of Tarsus, otherwise known as the Apostle Paul, that lets you know that you've tuned in to Jesus Made Me Kosher. We're glad to come to you every weekday at the same time. Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. And we encourage you to go to our website. There's just some great materials there, audio files, articles, just really good, helpful material. So do take advantage of that. And we're coming to you on a lovely Friday afternoon where the weather lives up to the name of Michigan. It's Meshuggah out there today. Can't decide if it's sunny or rainy or what. But Rabbi Lauren is coming to us live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael. I'm coming to you live from the studios of Faith Talk 1500. And we're sure glad to be with you. And Rabbi Lauren, we've got something interesting and a little bit of a departure for you and me to talk about today.
That's true, Rabbi Glenn. We're going to do an analysis of the interview of Joel and Victoria Osteen that took place on Fox News Sunday, this past Sunday, April 29th. We want to analyze their interview and turn it into a teachable moment so that all of us can learn how to discern and be wise.
Now, they were interviewed by Chris Wallace, nice Jewish boy, and he introduced Joel and Victoria Osteen as the pastors, and it was used in the plural because she is considered a pastor, of what he described as America's largest congregation, Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, which claims more than 40,000 members and has weekly services broadcast on television that reaches more than 10 million households.
Chris Wallace stated that Joel and Victoria Osteen are two of the most influential spiritual figures in this country. And you know what, Rabbi Glenn? I believe that Chris Wallace is right, that they are a very influential couple in this country, spiritually influential. But to me, that's very sad. Because, in my opinion, they represent a worldly kind of Christianity, a very shallow form of Christianity, a tickle-your-ears kind of Christianity.
Well, that certainly will draw a crowd. I mean, people will go great lengths to hear things that they already would like to hear. But, you know, Rabbi Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 wrote, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, sound teaching, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth." And Rabbi Lauren, that's a frightening idea that people will only be willing to hear what they already want to hear.
Rabbi Glenn, good preaching, good teaching does not give people what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. We are sinners. We are, you know, we have a fallen nature. We are so temptable in so many ways. We are so easily seduced by the world, the flesh, the devil. Good preaching, good teaching needs to challenge us, not to tickle our ears and tell us, oh, you're wonderful and God loves you and you're just going to have a better and better life here on earth. That is not good preaching and good teaching.
If I've got an open sore, hydrogen peroxide might not feel good on that open sore, but it's the thing that is so needed to prevent something worse from happening.
Exactly. And that's what good preaching and teaching based on the Word of God properly interpreted is to do for us spiritually. So let's take a look at this interview. We have the transcript in front of us, and we will actually read the transcript and then analyze it and try to see where we are.
Very good. I'll be Wallace right now. He asked the question. He said to Joel Osteen, Joel, you've been holding these nights of hope around the country, tens of thousands of people coming out to hear your message. What are you trying to tell them?
And Joel Osteen responds, I'm trying to let people know that even though there's difficult times in the country, that God is good, that God's on our side, and nothing is a surprise to him. And when you keep your faith in him, you can have peace even in the midst of difficult times.
You know, that's a really good statement. You and I would have no issue with that at all. And if the interview had ended there, we would have been very happy about it. But that's not where it ended. Wallace went on to address Victoria Osteen. He said, in Victoria, looking at it from the point of view of so many people coming out on this particular event on a Saturday night, why? And Victoria responded to him, well, I think, you know, that everybody wants to be encouraged. You want to know that there is a future and there is a hope. And Rabbi Lauren, there's nothing wrong with having hope. But there is a problem in the bigger picture with what was said.
There is nothing wrong with having hope and nothing wrong with knowing that there is a future. Of course, we need hope and hope for a future. But here's the problem, Rabbi Glenn. The hope that Joel and Victoria Osteen are teaching is hope for a better life in this world, a more prosperous life, better life in this world. It's a worldly hope. The Christian's hope is something altogether different. It's not the American dream. It's not a better life in this world that you're, you know, healthier and wealthier. The Christian's hope is eternal life in the New Jerusalem, living with the three-in-one God of Israel and with the sons and daughters of God of all the ages and the wonderful animals and the angels who have remained loyal to the living God.
And, you know, it's not as though there's anything wrong with hoping to have a better life, to have good income, to have a good family, to have things go. There's nothing wrong with that. The point that you and I are making is that when we set all of our attention on that and we neglect the eternal things, we do ourselves and everybody around us a disservice. And if this was just a motivational talk, you know, held in some auditorium, whatever, and just come out and get an inspirational, motivational talk, that's fine. But when this is supposed to be a man of God who's supposed to be teaching the scriptures and helping people prepare for eternity, and he just comes on with a whole lot of life coaching kind of stuff, that's really not helpful. And we've got to have our hope in something more than this world. I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer behind it. We're not taking anything with us when we go. So really the most important thing is that our souls, our lives be prepared to be in heaven with God.
Their kind of Christianity, Rabbi Glenn, seems to be a Christianity about a better life in this world. To me, that is a worldly kind of Christianity, and it is not true biblical Christianity.
Yep. Now, let me be Jim Wallace again. He continued the interview.
Chris Wallace.
What did I...
Sorry. Jim Wallace.
Oh, yeah, Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace says, all right, but let's talk to that, because this gets to a little bit of controversy about your ministry, Joel. Your critics say that what you offer is a prosperity gospel. You can be a better parent. You can have a career. And those critics say that you are more of a motivational speaker than you are a pastor. And Rabbi Lauren, what was Joel's response?
His response was, well, the fact is, Chris, I do want to motivate people. I want to be a better parent, a better, you know, to overcome an addiction, to leave their past behind. So I don't take that as a criticism that I want to motivate people, but everything that I teach is based on the scriptures.
You know, it sounds good because we all want to be better parents. We all want to be better people. But is that the case, that everything that he teaches is based on scripture? And is it enough to just say that what I teach is based on the scripture? Because even the devil quoted scripture. I'm recalled that three times when Yeshua was out in the wilderness, the devil actually came to him and twisted scripture to try to tempt him on three occasions.
Yes, Rabbi Glenn. You know, almost everyone out there says that what they teach is based on the scriptures, and they will quote a Bible verse or two, or, you know, a whole string of Bible verses. The problem is they're twisting the scriptures. The scriptures must be interpreted consistently and properly. There is a right way of interpreting the Word of God. And so it doesn't mean much when someone stands up and says, what I teach is based on the scriptures. It's how you're interpreting the Word of God. Are you interpreting it accurately and fairly and properly?
Yeah. Now, Joel went on to say, and I quote him, I mean, I grew up a preacher's kid, and I just, well, my gift is to talk about everyday life. Sometimes I say it's a prosperity gospel, but, you know, I just believe that we're supposed to excel. It's not about getting rich. It's about living the seeds of greatness that God has put on the inside to come out. Well, it sounds okay, Rabbi Lauren, but there's a problem, isn't there?
There is a problem. And Joel goes on to say, for a while growing up, you know, we were taught that to be a Christian, you've got to be poor and defeated and show that you are humble by suffering. Let me repeat that, Rabbi Glenn. We were taught that growing up, that to be a Christian, you've got to be poor and defeated and show that you're humble by suffering. But that's not the view I have of God. I believe God's on our side, and he wants us to be the best in life, where whatever we do, a great parent, a great business person, a great college student. So that's what he says, and he's talking about these seeds of greatness that we have within us, and that's what he wants to bring out, Rabbi Glenn, these seeds of greatness, so we can be great parents, great business people, great college students.
You know, I have to say that what he's essentially done, if we were in the process of debate, is he set up a straw man. It was a straw man argument. Because I don't know anybody, and I know a lot of people who are raised as Christians, I know lots of people who are raised as Christians, who never would, in a million years, would suggest that the definition of being a Christian is that you have to be poor and defeated and you have to show that you're humble by suffering. That's setting up a straw man. I don't know anybody who believes that. So what's he knocking down? Nothing that resembles reality.
Well, you know, he's giving some truth mixed in with error. There are some benefits to be poor and not rich, and we'll talk about that. But we are not taught that to be a Christian, you've got to be defeated, which is what he claimed, and to show that you're humble by suffering. In fact, the Word of God does say that there is something very positive, very beneficial about suffering if we approach suffering with a godly attitude.
Yeah, I mean, some of the great men and women across biblical history at various times suffered. And yet, you know, they're accounted as being some of the greatest men and women in all of history. So it's just, I don't know, I really have a problem with portraying suffering in and of itself as not having any redemptive value. Therefore, that's the justification for me to focus on have your best life now, have everything you want now, and not think about the things that are of eternal consequence.
Rabbi Glenn, he wants a great life now. He wants Christianity without suffering, but that's impossible. Listen to these words from James chapter 1. James, Yaakov, is the half-brother of the Lord, and he was writing to a suffering community, mostly of Messianic Jews, and he writes, "Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, big trials, little trials, long trials, short trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, that trials and suffering tests your faith and produces endurance." And that's a good thing. "Let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So, Rabbi Glenn, James teaches us that God uses suffering and trials and difficulties and hardships of all kinds in the life of the sons and daughters of God to improve us, to give us endurance, to bring us to maturity.
You know, Rabbi Lauren, I think we've got so many examples, even within nature, of the value of going through a trial. For example, I don't build my muscles sitting in the hot tub. I build my muscles when I have to push weights and it hurts, but that's how I get stronger. A diamond started out as a piece of coal that you could crush in your hand. Well, what turned that little fragile piece of coal into the most, the hardest and most beautiful substance on earth, a diamond? It was enormous geological pressure and intense heat over a protracted period of time. There's all kinds of examples that God has given us, I think, in nature where even hardship produces something beautiful and enduring.
Rabbi Glenn, the supreme example and model for us in virtually everything is Messiah, Yeshua, the Son of God. And look at his life. His life was not one of wealth. It was not one of, you know, outward greatness to the world. It was one of, you know, suffering and hardship and disappointment that ultimately led to a horrible death on a cross and rejection. And Messiah said, the one who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. The one who has found his life in this world, who chooses a worldly life, like I believe the Osteens have, will lose his life. And the one who has lost his life for my sake will find his life, his true life, his eternal life. So the Osteens seem to be preaching a better kind of Christianity that avoids the cross. It's a crossless Christianity, a Christianity without suffering and trials. To me, it is a soulless, empty Christianity.
I guess the problem that you and I have with all of this is that I would expect a message like that from somebody who didn't have an eternal perspective, for somebody who thought that this world is all there is and this life is all you get. And if that's a person's view, then at least that kind of a message of going for everything you can in this world would be consistent. But the problem you and I have is this is a man who is supposed to be a pastor, supposed to be leading a flock and helping them draw nearer to God and to prepare for eternity. And his message is as though it's coming from somebody who doesn't believe in the world to come.
Exactly. Well, Chris Wallace goes on to say, well, explain, you know, how do you do that? How do you plant these seeds of greatness?
And Joel Osteen responded, well, I think you do that, one, by living by the principles of the Bible. One thing, you got to see yourself the right way. If you feel guilty because of past mistakes and you live with the wrong self-image, you're never going to rise up and be who God created you to be. And Chris Wallace followed up and addressed this to Mrs. Osteen. He said, but Victoria, Joel does not talk. And again, this goes back to the critics. You'd say, you know, you can, the negative people, doesn't talk a lot about the devil, doesn't talk about hell, doesn't talk a lot about sin. Aren't those all, you could say they're downers, but aren't those all important parts of religion? And Rabbi Lauren, what did Victoria Osteen say in response?
She says, well, I think, you know, Joel does talk about that. He just talks about it from a different angle. Different angle, Rabbi Glenn. So instead of saying, you know, you did bad today, you know, you sinned, he says, you know what? You can do better. You can work hard. You can be focused. You can be disciplined. So here's what they're doing, Rabbi Glenn. They are de-emphasizing sin as a, well, they're just de-emphasizing sin. They don't want to talk about sin. They don't want to talk about hell. They don't want to talk about Satan. But Rabbi Glenn, these are key theological concepts. The concept of sin is so important for us to understand. It's one of the most basic theological concepts. You can't understand Christianity. You can't understand the Bible. You can't understand the gospel. You can't understand the need for salvation if you don't understand sin and the reality of hell. That hell is a reality and lost and fallen human beings are headed to hell. And the Son of God talked more about hell than anybody else. He did not de-emphasize hell. And not talking about Satan. Satan is a reality, Rabbi Glenn. The fallen angels are real, and we need to be aware of them and their plots and their plans and their activity and their temptations. So this is a watered-down Christianity. The focus is not on the need of a savior from sin and to go to heaven, not hell, the lostness of man and the need for salvation, but the focus is on this world and doing better in this world. Rabbi Glenn, this is not the gospel.
Well, you know, the gospel means the good news. And the good news that the scriptures speak of is that God is reconciling human beings to himself, that we can be made right with God, that our sin can be forgiven, and that we can be with him for all eternity. That's really good news. But it wouldn't be good news unless we were willing to squarely face the fact that our situation at present without him is dire indeed. I mean, it does us no good to say, well, I don't want to have to deal with unpleasant things. You know, the unpleasant things don't just go away. The scriptures are realistic. They present us with the reality of our condition, but they also present us with the good news that there is a remedy for it. But it does us no good. And a man who is supposed to be a preacher, supposed to be a pastor, does his people no favors by playing down or redefining or de-emphasizing these realities that need to be faced.
Absolutely true. One final quote, and that is Chris Wallace asked Joel Osteen, are Mormons like Mitt Romney true Christians? Well, of course, Mitt Romney is the likely nominee of the Republican Party to be president. He is a Mormon. Are Mormons like Mitt Romney true Christians? And Joel Osteen answers, well, listen to this, Rabbi Glenn. I believe they are followers of Christ. I believe Mormons are followers of Christ. I don't believe Mormonism is traditional Orthodox Christianity, but I go back to when I hear Mitt Romney and some of my Mormon friends say, I love Jesus, he's my savior. I believe he was raised from the dead. And they follow the teachings of the Bible, and I believe that they are followers of Christ, and they are my brothers. And I'm not looking to exclude, to push them out.
Well, you know, it sounds really good and embracing and affirming and non-judgmental, but the fact is, you know, to say that Mitt Romney is a follower of Christ, you can only do that really if you're willing to say Christ as redefined, a completely reconstituted, ripped out of Jewish historical, Jewish historical context. The word Christ can be bandied about to mean almost anything, but which Jesus are we talking about? And Mormons, sad to say, are believing in a Jesus that has been completely redefined outside of the proper Jewish biblical context.
Yes, they believe. They don't believe that he's the eternal divine son of God. I think they believe that he's some sort of a created being or angel or something. Anyway, it's not the biblical view of the son of God. Christianity, true Christianity, Orthodox Christianity, considers Mormonism to be a cult, and rightly so, and that Mormons are outside of the historic Christian faith. So, Rabbi Glenn, this is supposedly the pastor of the largest church in America with the greatest spiritual influence. This is pathetic. This is sad. This is so foolish and undiscerning and destructive and damaging. We can't be listening to these people.
Well, unfortunately, Rabbi Lorne, there's 40,000 people listening every Sunday morning and another 10 million listening on television. So that speaks to an issue that is pervasive across our culture today, and that is people are not willing to endure sound doctrine. People want their ears tickled. They want to hear pleasantries. And there's a time for pleasantness, but there's a time to really honestly and squarely face the spiritual issues that are in front of us. And when a man claims to be a man of God and to represent Jesus the Messiah, you know, that man has got to be willing to not try to please people, but to speak the truth. And when we strive to please people, we're heading down the road of compromise, compromise, compromise. And that, Rabbi Lorne, is frightening because apparently there's a whole lot of people who name the name of Jesus willing to go down that road.
Rabbi Glenn, we need to be more discerning. We need to be wise. We need to stick to the pure word of God.
Yep. Well, we're out of time already. Clearly, there are big issues afoot. And folks, we really appreciate you tuning in to Jesus Made Me Kosher today. We hope you'll join us again on Monday, God willing. We'll take up more issues that pertain to us. And on behalf of Rabbi Lauren and me and everybody at Congregation Shema Yisrael, we want to say shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.